Helen, you wanted to talk about this as our first burning issue. The government's proposed changes this week to race discrimination law, which makes it a civil, not a criminal, but a civil offence to insult and humiliate someone because of their colour. First, here's the Prime Minister on how he wants to change 18C.
Over the past months, cases involving the late cartoonist Bill Leake and the QUT students have shown that Section 18C has not been working well. The legislation will remove the words offend, insult, humiliate, and insert the word harass. The new standard of harass or intimidate will better target and prohibit the conduct which is at the heart of racial vilification.
The Prime Minister. Helen?
There's no real evidence that the law isn't working. Like most laws, it works well when you get a good result and works badly when you believe that you don't get a good result. So when we look at the whole number of cases that have been considered, a number of complaints that have been considered by the Human Rights Commission, the two of those controversial acts, one of which never came to any kind of action by the Human Rights Commission, which is a Leake case, yes, then these really are standout cases, you know, which need to address some of the problems that they raised up, but they don't indicate a general crisis in the law.
But Bill Leake's case, there is a defence to 18C, and that's 18D. You can racially insult, offend and intimidate if it's reasonably in the public interest, if it's a fair comment genuinely held on a matter of public interest, if it's an artistic expression. Bill Leake's cartoon would have met most, maybe every single one of those defences. So how did he even get past square one? Because he did have months of
harassment.
Harassment, you say, Ian? Yeah.
Bill Leake was being harassed by bureaucracy. That's not a good thing. I met him the week before he died, by the way. He was suffering the same kind of, and I'll call it persecution, that I've seen in Canada and I've seen in South Africa from often well-intentioned tribunals that have too broad a mandate. He was very much an ordinary citizen. He told them, I'm not a lawyer, I can draw cartoons, but I'm not set up to hire somebody who's expensive to defend me, and I don't know what to say.
The proceedings of the commission aren't judicial.
That's a technical distinction citizen
I mean,
who's facing it.
It's a very important distinction because it's been the subject of high court deliberation and decisions about the very structure of the separation of powers. People today need to understand, this is a lesson for myself as well, you know, it can be very hard to learn this lesson for yourself. They need to understand that there's a difference between abuse and criticism, and criticism can be very strong and very heated, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but there's a big difference between that and abuse. And I disagree that this was a case of persecution. He is a public figure and he's not just an ordinary citizen. But, he needs to understand that this is what comes with your intervention in the public sphere. That's part and parcel of what it means to intervene. And it's a difference that people both on the left and on the right aren't fully observant of and don't try and teach themselves.
There's a big difference between who's doing the criticizing. In this case, for them to criticize the paper that his cartoons appeared in is one thing. For this to go to the state and then him to be the subject of a proceeding. Now, yes, it's an administrative proceeding, but in terms of the cost of legal counsel, in terms of its eventual appeal status, it looks very much like a court proceeding to a layperson.
Tim Soutphommasane, the Race Discrimination Commissioner, asks the question, given you can actually be racist, intimidating and insulting if it's reasonably in the public interest, what do you want to say that you can't now?
That's a very clever rhetorical question he's framed, but I'm not going to answer it because it puts you in a box. I mean, that's a classic question. If I was asked it by a judge, I'd say, I'm not answering that question as you framed it because it doesn't permit a proper evaluation of the section at issue. The question is, does this language of offend, insult, humiliate pass muster in a free society? I think they're too vague. The idea that hurt feelings constitute something that should be compensable in a legal regime, I think is going too far.
But doesn't feeling come into many areas of law? The emotional distress when your builder ruins your house, the negligent doctor who injures you, or the boss who sexually harasses you. Courts have to quantify and consider the feelings of the victim in this on a daily basis. Why should victims of racism be the only excluded category?
I don't think they should be the only excluded category.
Well, why should they be an excluded category?
Because I think that what they should be compensated for are what I would call real harms. In South Africa, when we drafted the South African Charter of Religious Rights and Freedoms, we said there should be no incitement for violence or causing physical harm.
And yeah, but you know physical harm doesn't even begin to cover the impact of the harm caused by racism.
That's true. That's true. But the thing is, if you get through the gate in proving a racism case, you can be compensated adequately for, I think, damage that's real, psychological damage perhaps. But if you make it too broad, too vague, you'll get the kind of thing we saw at the Queensland University situation.
So you think there should be a line, it just should be in a slightly different position.
That's right. But that's law's always about drawing lines. And I agree with the Prime Minister, terms like offend, insult, humiliate are too weak.
Helen?
It's really about behaviour, public behaviour. And we're talking about discrimination here as well. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull is being a little bit disingenuous because the big question is not insulting or offending or humiliating, but doing those things on the basis of and within the context of racial discrimination. So the question really is, does this behaviour discriminate? Does it treat certain people as having a lesser standing than others? Does it fail to dignify them, if we use the central term of human rights jurisprudence, of dignity? And so those are the questions about disadvantage, about discrimination, and that's what we should centre on rather than quibbling about the meaning of offence, which also has a well-defined meaning over 20 years, as you mentioned, of judicial decisions, which have decided it must be read in the context of insult and humiliate, intimidate, and that it's no mere trifling slights, that it's not about feelings, but a question of discrimination.
But you know what? The Supreme Court of Canada, I was asked by one of the judges, if you call somebody a cockroach, surely that will lead to genocide. And I said, no, there's lines that have to be drawn between the insult, cockroach, and this was the Rwandan case, and genocide. What is that line? It's where you are advocating, inciting violence or serious crime against a person or group.
I think things that might be dismissed as trigger warnings are, in fact, often, you know, things we need to be concerned about. There, the Rwandan case of Nahimana, when people said cockroach, you knew what cockroach meant. Cockroach meant you stamped them out. I've heard Orthodox Jews in Australia referred to as cockroaches. Everybody knows what that means. It means that they are to be treated as something that you get a shoe out and whack.
Or worse.
And so it might sound like an innocuous word, you know, and the cockroach crawled up my wall, but we all know what that means in terms of where you have a society in which there is a history of anti-Semitism or great racial divisions, that those words become inflamed. People too often think harm means just simply physical harm, you know, whacking the cockroach, but it doesn't. It means much more than that, and it's a much more complex notion.
Even though the government's legislation looks like it probably won't get through the Senate because Nick Xenophon is saying he'll join the Greens and Labor to block it, the government does want to change the reasonable person test. So the question won't be, as it is now, would a reasonable Jewish person consider Holocaust denial racist intimidation, or would a reasonable black person consider a burning cross racist intimidation? Instead, it'll be, will a reasonable Australian draw that conclusion? Ian?
There's nothing wrong with that, because we don't understand these things only in terms of our personal experience. A well-educated person tries to put themselves in the other person's shoes. How would I feel if I was that person? That's what a reasonable person does. Is that how we're teaching people to be in society? Obviously, we fail, and that's why we have bigots.
Well, Linda Burney, she's the first and only Indigenous woman elected to the House of Representatives. So here she is speaking of the tweet she received.
It says, "Why are you abos allowed to harass people for dollars outside grocery stores? For you are uneducated drug addicts and disgusting. Change it." And she's talking about 18C. People that have never experienced racism cannot possibly stand in the shoes of those that have. And many of the people that are advocating these changes, that are so passionate about these changes, have not stood in the shoes of Aboriginal people, of people from a non-English speaking background. That is very, very clear, or you would not be advocating the nonsense that you are advocating.
Labor's Linda Burney, you disagree with her?
Completely disagree with her. It sounds cute. It's the standard way of discussing these things nowadays, but it's wrong. I do not have to be an Aboriginal person to understand what racism against Aboriginals meant. I experience it more clearly if I'm an Aboriginal. A woman does not have to be a man in order to understand what certain things against men can mean. A man doesn't have to be a woman in order to be sensitively engaged with women's concerns. This idea that identity groups are owned by the identity is nonsense, and it's becoming a creeping problem in all Western political and legal discourse, and I completely reject it.
Helen?
I do think, while it's not right to say you couldn't possibly understand anything about my view, I actually do think that women understand things about being a woman that men don't.
And Jews understand anti-Semitism a little bit better than Gentiles, don't they?
It depends on the Jew. Some Jews would understand anti-Semitism much better, and some would be as thick as a brick about it, in the same way that human beings are always of that capacity to either understand or not understand, and they don't get it from their race, their gender, their religion. They get it from being well-educated and thoughtful human beings. They get it from being empathetic. Empathy is not owned by a race, by a religion, by a sex.
Ian, can I give you an example? And I was thinking about this because in relation to the tweets about freedom of speech, you know, there was a Twitter thing that people could contribute to me about their experiences of racism. And I sort of thought, well, what are my experiences of racism? And I didn't have any, but I did have a couple of incidents from my childhood. And I was terribly thin and tall as a child. It was terrible. Terrible experience. And people used to say, you are so thin, your legs are like the legs of an Aboriginal. And obviously they weren't complimenting me. And I was understanding something about being white, and I was understanding something about what I had to be in order to be white, and that I wasn't quite that in their eyes. And so in that sense, I experienced racial discrimination. I understood something about it, and obviously I quailed at the thought, oh, my God, they're really sort of, you know, they're really having a go at me. And they're bullying, you know, it's bullying, I suppose you'd say. But I didn't experience it in the same way when it is targeted directly at its targets. There you understand something different, but it wasn't experiencing what it means to be an Aboriginal. I could get a glimpse of it, but I couldn't experience it.
But this is the essence of what it is to become an empathetic person.
I tried that, but you know, but I'm still not in those shoes. I'm trying to be in those shoes, and I'm trying to understand it, but I'm not. I can't.
Yeah,
but same as I can't experience what it means to be the direct target of anti-Semitism.
And so what? My response to that is, so what? Can I, as a white person, sympathize with the plight of people of other races who are the victims of racism? I hope so.
But can I understand how harmful it is?
Of course you can. It depends on you, you see. It's not something you get from your skin color. It's not something you get from your gender.
It is, insofar as you have a pool of evidence upon which to draw as a victim of racism, as distinct from a person who hasn't experienced racism, who has to go and find evidence as to what it would feel, as it were.
Well, I am human, and nothing human is foreign to me, okay? You as a man can't possibly experience blah, blah, blah. You as a woman can't possibly experience blah, blah, blah.
We don't need to be absolutist. There are billionaires who've never experienced picking up a towel from the ground. You know, that's the nature of wealth and poverty. So who's going to give you a good idea of what it means to be poor? Is it a homeless guy? Is it the Salvos? Is it Rupert Murdoch?
The way that clip was framed, it was in an us and them phraseology with which I am in strong disagreement. I don't like it. I don't think it's helpful. I think it's this ownership of outrage, and I don't like it.
I don't think that that's what Linda Burney was saying. And you know, when you come to know Linda Burney, you can't get a better sense that that's not what she's saying. You know,
I'm just going on what
I
heard.
Yeah, no, sure. But I think that what she's saying is that in terms of understanding the gravity of the harm and understanding the nature of the harm, it's not something, you know, that you necessarily have access to.
Well, that's true.
RN, God forbid. Men don't understand women, women don't understand men, blacks don't understand whites, vice versa. True, false. What about when it's religion and atheism? That's our voice in the wilderness, up next.